All right. This is a topic which I think it's an old topic, but I came across it. Let's see. Maybe we can do. We'll see how much time we have. We'll do other things as well. There's a lot of lundis, and one chiddush I saw over here that really shocked me out of my mind. And the question is, how far do you go with it? We have a way to get there. Let's go through step by step. As a disclaimer, I don't know anything about this. I don't drink whiskey. I don't drink bourbon. I don't drink scotch. I don't even know what these things are. To me, it all tastes like mouthwash. I can't tell the difference between a $300 bottle of scotch and literally mouthwash. Okay, I'm not trained. I'm not accustomed. I don't know what I'm talking about. So you'll have to help me as we go through this. I have really no clue. I have some friends that are big, big mumchim in this. They mamish, they live, breathe this stuff, but not me. So let's discuss the issues. Let me first turn to the page so I can quote you some words of the rabbis. One second. One moment, please. Okay, here it is. Oidois, I'm learning over here from this Sefer Oitzim Achmadim. We use this all the time, 7 volumes. Harav Nosson Gottlieb. If you know everything he wrote in all of his 7 Tzarim, you have to know Kol HaTorah Kula. It's mind-boggling how much information is contained in these Tzarim and how he has a gift, mamish, a gift from Hashem, a koyach hasbara. The way he lays it out is just unbelievable. Okay, so now we know there's something called Yayin Nesach. Everyone is familiar with this principle that you're not allowed to drink wine that has not been cooked, that has been touched by a goy. If a non-Jew touches a glass of wine or a bottle of wine that is open, or at least that's not sealed, and he moves it, he has to move it. So there is a concern. Now, there's no real concern today, but the halacha doesn't change nevertheless, that when a guy shakes wine, it used to be back in the day when there was a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, only one purpose. He's shaking the wine, l'shem Avodah Zarah. They were just like in the Beis HaMikdash, we know that every single carbon is accompanied by yayin. When you bring a carbon, you also bring a mincha meal offering, and you bring yayin, and you pour yayin on the mizbeach. V'niskehem kimedubar. We say in the nusach atfilah, shloish. There is a how many lugin? 6 lugin for a par, 4 lugin for an ayil, 3 lugin of yayin for a keves. Every carbon is accompanied by a certain amount of yayin, and the yayin is poured on the top of the mizbeach. That's the halacha. What is the reason for this? Gezeres HaKosef. Maybe there are reasons that we could understand today in today's day and age, but generally the concept of korbanos is beyond our understanding. Every single animal sacrifice must be accompanied with yayin, and the wine is poured on the top of the mizbeach by the goyim. The goyim also offer sacrifices to gods, to idols. Avodah Zarah, Chiv Misa, Mrs. Bezdin, the Jew would do something like this, and the Goyim would also pour wine in honor of their gods. And if a Goy pours wine, if a Jew were to pour wine in honor of a god, Chayev Misa, that is a form of Avodah Zarah. Again, we don't understand how this works, we don't understand Avodah Zarah. Today we have no Yetzar for Avodah Zarah, so it's hard for us to understand. As an extension of this, if you go into a restaurant, you go into any facility, and there's wine, and the wine is fit to be, in Beis HaMikdash, the only wine that's fit to be used to pour for the Nesachim is wine that has not been cooked. Once wine has been altered, it has been cooked, the yayin is no longer kosher for Nesachim. If it's no longer kosher for Nesachim, then it's not fit for Avodah Zarah either. So then if a guy were to touch the yayin, the guy would pour the wine, it wouldn't become forbidden. So we're dealing with wine that is natural, that has not been pasteurized, that has not been cooked. Yayin that is not mevushel. If a guy touches the wine, there is a concern, at least back years ago, he would shake it in honor of his God, which automatically makes the yayin in tikroves avodas kochavim, an offering to a God, and it is osur behano. Today, goyim don't think about idols, but it doesn't matter. The halacha remains the same. If a non-Jew touches an open bottle of wine, automatically the yayin is yayin nesach, and it may not be consumed by a Jew. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch, a whole bunch of halachas. The halachas are not so uncommon. There are still a lot of wines today, expensive wines that are not cooked, not pasteurized, or even if they are pasteurized, they might not be pasteurized to a temperature which would take away the prohibition, take it out of the category.
Wines in glass, big glass bottles.
Are not cooked. Why not?
I don't know why.
There's a market for people who want it. Because it's a hiddur to make kiddush on yayin. Some people say you can't even make a bar priya gofen. Once you cook the wine, so it's not called yayin. So now you can't make a bar, you make a shahakol. That's not accepted lahalacha. But there's a market for it. There's no question a hiddur to use wine that has not been cooked. However, sometimes yotza schoroi behef seidoi. It's only a hiddur, but if a non-Jew touches the wine when the bottle is open, the wine becomes osur. It's a davar chomer ad ma'oid. And you read what it says in the Zohar Mamash, she goes to town, it's unbelievable, Kabbalistic and Yonim, if a guy touches wine, even if a guy looks at the wine, you're already in trouble. Okay, there's a lot of Kabbalistic and Yonim over here, and Hanach lechem l'Yisholim, Einim v'im b'nei nevi'im, the halacha does not change, and indeed it's a davar chomer ma'oid, if you have yayin that has not been cooked, and even if it has been cooked, if it has not been cooked to a different opinions about this matter to a certain temperature, then it's considered yayin that's not mavushal. And if a guy touches the bottle of wine that is open, or even in extreme circumstances, some hold that if even the guy looks at it, you shouldn't use it for kiddush and havdalah. You can use it for other things, you can drink it, but if a guy looked at an open bottle of wine that was not being cooked, you should not even use it for kiddush. That's a very big chumrah. I don't know anyone that would do that today, but maybe people do that. They do that, who knows? Fine. Even today, if a guy looks at yayin that's not mavushal, don't use the yayin for kiddush and havdalah. Yeah. Can you use it? Can you drink it? L'chor, you can still drink it. They don't go that far. That far they don't go, but you do not use it for davar shebe kedusha. That is the halacha. What's the shaila? Bourbon. How do you make bourbon? Bourbon, I know nothing about this, you have to tell me. You take malt, barley. And you take barley, you crush it. I don't know what you do.
Not bourbon.
What?
Bourbon has some comments. Bourbon is made from corn.
Bourbon is made from corn. So then I'm making a mistake. Malt. So what we're talking about?
Scotch.
Okay, we're talking about scotch. Like scotch from Scotland. Scotch. What do they do? They take barley. The barley, they I don't know what they do to the barley. They crush it. They put in. They do something to it. There's some liquid. I don't know what liquid they use.
They
soak in water.
Yeah.
Okay, and what do they do? They cook it. And then they put it in barrels. Wood barrels. What kind of barrels? Oak?
I don't know.
Different types of barrels. You let it sit in these barrels for at least 3 years. At least 3 years. What? First, they burn the barrel inside. They char the barrel inside in order to all different things, to clean it out, to give it some taste. They take a certain type of barrel, of a certain type of wood, and they writes about that they char it on the inside. They do whatever they do to it. They process the barrel for whatever they do, but the main thing is they need a certain type of wood. The wood has unique properties, has a unique fragrance, has unique chemical properties, and they do something, they treat the wood in a certain way. They then take this barley that has been soaked in water and has been cooked, and they put this liquid into this barrel, and they let it sit quietly to ferment for a very long period of time, a minimum of 3 years. I think in Scotland, you're not allowed to call it scotch unless, by law, you get into trouble, unless if it's not at least soaking for 3 years. And that's the minimum. And the more expensive ones have been soaking for much more than that. Wonderful. No problem. Everything is shalom al Yisrael. Everything is kosher. All the ingredients are kosher. A tree, the barrels come from the ground. It's wood. What could be wrong with a piece of wood? Okay? They char it on the inside. What are they doing? Everything, every single ingredient appears to be kosher. Barley is kosher. They soak it in water. They cook it. They put it into the barrel. What's the problem? Easy to get a hechsher.
They add color
or okay, so you want to go say they add some ingredients. So you'll ask the OU, are the ingredients kosher? They'll check it out and they'll tell you it's kosher. They'll put their hechsher on it. Then there is a specialty called the cherry casks. Okay, what is the story that they've discovered?
Cherry,
what do they have discovered? A secret, this is an accident. They've discovered something mysterious discovery. And that is, it seems at some point in time, there was a shortage of barrels. Okay, it's not so easy to get these expensive barrels made from a certain type of wood that they're gonna use to let sit around for many, many years. And they had empty barrels that were used to store wine. They used the same barrels to hold wine, to store wine. And then the barrels were used, and then the wine was bottled, you know, they let it soak for whatever period of time, and they bottled the yayin into glass bottles. They have these empty barrels sitting around. So they hose them down, and they, whatever they did, oh, let's take the malt, this barley, and let's put it in the barrel, and we'll use these barrels, the same barrels. And then they discovered, wow, the product, 3 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, the scotch was delicious, like none other. And the reason was because they realized is that the yayin, the wine, that the wood wasn't just a regular wooden barrel. Being that these wooden barrels were used to store wine, the yayin soaked, was absorbed into the wood. And then when they clean it out and they wash it down and they prepare it for the malt, you can't get rid of the yayin that has been absorbed into the wood. And then when the malt soaks, the malt sits in these barrels for a long period of time, the yayin that is in the wood, it comes out and mingles with the malt and gives it a richness and a flavor and a fragrance that is second to none. So once they discover this little trick, this little technique, so they've gone to extreme lengths to go and to seek out barrels. These it's called the cherry casks.
Sherry
with an S. S-H. Sherry casks, which are basically a special type of barrel from a special type of wood that already has been used to store yayin. And now the yayin has been spilled out and processed and bottled. And now we're left with the barrel, which has absorbed the flavor of wine. And now we're going to use this to create, to store the malt and let it sit there for a significant period of time to produce a scotch that has a unique flavor, which combines with it not just the wood. The wood obviously has an effect, a chemical reaction on the malt, but the wine also that's absorbed, the combination of the wine with the wood, it does wonders to the malt to produce something that is very unique and special. So what's the problem? Well, there's a very big problem, because the wine that was originally stored in the sherry casks, am I saying that correctly? Casks with an S?
Right.
The S at the end of the casks. So the sherry casks have been storing yayin nesach. The wine that was put in these casks was wine that was not cooked. It's not mevushel. It was touched by Gentiles. The yayin that was in these casks is the real deal. It's yayin nesach b'chol, with all of the hidurim. The yayin that was stored in these casks is with mehudar me'oid. mamish b'choisama shel koyin gadol yayin esach. Yayin esach. It's the greatest yayin esach that you can possibly have. So along came Rabbi Yerushalmi and says, so what's the problem? So what is the problem? It's yayin. What's the problem? It's yayin esach. Yayin esach, mamish. So you empty out the barrel, you clean it, you hose it down, maybe you even char it, maybe you go and you blowtorch the inside of the barrel for a few seconds to clean out any residue. Doesn't matter. The yayin nesach has been absorbed deep into the fibers of the wood. You can't get it out. And when you're going to let this malt soak in this barrel, it's inevitable the yayin is going to make its way back out and enter into the malt, and you're going to have a ta'aruvis, a mixture of malt and yayin esach. Treif. A ta'aruvis of yayin esach is osa b'hano.
But is it really yayin esach or yayin stach?
It's we don't differentiate. There's no differentiate. Yayin esach is very chom. There's no yayin stam. Even though no goy today is thinking about idols. No way, Jose. The goyim in the factory, when they're preparing wine, you're going to tell me that when they're touching the wine, they have nothing better to do than the thing about...
They don't even believe in God.
They don't even believe in it. You're 100% correct. So there are some leniencies after the fact, when already something became treif. There are very few leniencies. I don't remember the leniencies. What? Oh, we'll come to that in a second. But first, let's appreciate that the halacha l'maisa, it doesn't matter. Even though we know as a fact today that the goyim don't think about idols, when they touch wine, and look, the wine, my coffee was wine. When they're thinking about, oh, I'm shaking this, l'shem, avodah zarah, no way. They don't even know what avodah zarah is. It doesn't matter. The halacha does not change. It is mamish osur. There's no leniencies. Kemat no leniencies. The laws of Yayin Nesach remain very, very chamur, much different than milk and pas. Pas akum, pas stam, pas palter. Right? You say it's the same thing like milk. Stam cholov, cholov stam, pas palter. So it's the same thing. It's not.
One over six.
We're more makel. Stam yenim. We're more makel in the din of bittel. Correct. We're more makel. Not everyone agrees to that though. It's machloikis. Up to a six. So some still say 60. Up to 60. Okay. So what is the argument that Rabbi Yerushalmi has made? The argument is that it's bittel. Big deal. Everything in the kashrus revolves around the laws of bittel. It's bittel. If it's bottle, it's bottle. So how much wine already is absorbed? First of all, the davar shein lo mamish. There's nothing in there. There's no mamish. It's just a tam. There's some. It's bottle. So when it sits there, the malt sits in these barrels for a number of years. Make a calculation of how much scotch is inside and how much wine got absorbed. And even if you'll tell me the entire thickness of the barrel, it'll also be bottle. Even if you'll go and you'll say that you have to be mevatel the entire thickness of the barrel, the calculation will come out that we should say that it is bittel. The problem is, the only time you say bittel is if you cannot detect the flavor. If you have a teeny, teeny mash or something very potent, some chemical, some ingredient that is 100% treif, and you put it into a food, and it's 1,000 times more kosher, there's 1,000 times more kosher than the non-kosher, but if the non-kosher is so potent and you can detect its flavor, then there's no din bittel. There is no din bittel. Now, so that's the first way. Let's say bittel, so you'll tell me, no. You'll tell me it's not, but how do you know it's not bottle? Because it costs in the store a few hundred dollars more to buy the scotch that has been soaking in a sherry cask versus the scotch that has been soaking in a barrel that was not a sherry cask. So obviously there's some flavor. There is there is a flavor that has enhanced this scotch that is detectable. Because if it wasn't detectable, why are you buying it? Why are you buying it? What are you buying? So you want to say bittel? Yeah, I'll be very happy to say bittel if you can't detect the taste. But you can detect it. How do you know you can detect it? Because it tastes different. So what are you tasting different? You're tasting the ayin. That is a very weak, I don't think anyone says that, anyone accepts that halacha. Because when you do taste the whiskey, the scotch from the sherry casks, you are not tasting yayin. You can ask any connoisseur, the biggest experts, and have them taste the scotch from scotch that's been soaked in a sherry cask, and they will tell you, I do not detect even the smallest mashahu of wine. There's no wine. Oh, so they're tasting, when it comes to that, they're tasting to some chemical reaction that the yayin, the wine, brought about.
Sherry casks give it a fruity flavor versus an oak cask gives it a vanilla caramel flavor taste. It's a different taste that it's imparting onto the whiskey.
Because of the chemical reaction of the yayin, but here's, this is a very important yisod in kashrus, you are not tasting wine. What is osir? Yayin nesech is osir. Here, at the end of the day, the scotch tastes different. But there is absolutely zero detection of a tam of yayin. Yayin has a distinct flavor. Maybe not everyone is discerning of its flavor, but there are certain experts in the world that you can bring in, and they will taste it from today until tomorrow, and they will all tell you, b'safa veruda, there is no flavor of yayin.
So you're saying that the flavor that the cask is getting, the wine is making the cask, the wood, give off a fruity flavor to the cask.
Okay, I don't want to go that far. That's going to be coming next. Let's say the opposite direction. Everything's a matter of make-believe at this moment, and the truth is no one really even knows at the end of the day what's really going on. People will tell you this and this and this, but there seems to be the scientists, from what he writes over here, have chiluke deos of exactly what is really happening when you use a sherry cask. Let's for the moment say the following chiddush. Dr. Dov is sitting upon the Yesoid HaDavar, Okay, so Google, when you're in Google, he writes over here, this is what the mumchim say. Because let's say what he says first, then we'll go backwards. Let's go to the steps. We have to cover the steps. So let's say it is, let's go one thing at a time. It's bottle. It's bottle. Because you're not detecting yayin. There's no detection of the flavor of yayin. Okay, no problem. So give a heksher. Let the OU give a heksher. Nope, we got another problem. It's a dover hamaimit. There's a new principle. The new principle is if something is not kosher, even though you cannot detect its flavor, and the dover that's not kosher is also behana, you're not allowed to derive benefits, it automatically prohibits the product. Yayin nesech is osur behano, benefit. This yayin nesech is a participant in creating a product called whiskey. And it does something, obviously, because it changed its flavor, even though
creating
I don't...
It's creating a product of a barrel. It's a type of barrel.
Fine. And the barrel, though, it's a maimid. This is called the dover hamaimid. There is a barrel. Flavor is bottle. Flavor is bottle in shishim. It's bottle in 1 in 6. But if you use a dover ha'asr to create something, to establish something, that is never bottle. So because in this barrel has this yayin, which is also behana, and this yayin, there's no detection of flavor, so that's bottle, but it is necessary to be there in order to create a product. This in halacha the barrel, and the barrel is a barrel of Yayin Esech, which is also Behana. The barrel, you need a barrel in order to let the malt soak for a number of years. This in Halacha is called a Dover HaMaimid. And a Dover HaMaimid, if the Dover HaMaimid is Osur, the product is Osur. If the barrel is Osur, the barrel is Osur Behana because the barrel is soaked with, it's soaked with Yayin Nesech. So the product is also Osur. So that would be a problem. Along comes the Poskim and they say, that's not a problem. You know why it's not a problem? It's not only the wine that is maimid, the scotch. That's not the only thing that's maimid. The wood of the barrel is also a maimid. And the wood is mutter. There's nothing wrong with the wood. The wood is perfectly fine. So in other words, we have at least a double maimid. Zeh v'zeh goyrim. You have the wood, is a maimit, and you have what has been soaked into the wood. So it's each one together is participating in establishing and creating a product called whiskey. So, or not whiskey, scotch, the great scotch. So it's ze.
It's not only scotch, they do it with
rice. Ze vize goyrein is mutter. So we've gone over here on a whole roller coaster. We start off. Oh, you're tasting the flavor of yayin. Excuse me, you're not tasting the flavor of yayin. You're tasting something else, a bottle. Mutter. A new problem. Dover HaMaimid. Dover HaMaimid is not bottle. No, it's not a Dover HaMaimid because it's not the only maimid. There is yayin esech plus this wood together. And in fact, it's much more wood than there is yayin esech. So it's there are two items here that are being maimed, and the halach is clear. Zeh v'zeh goyrein is mutter. So l'chayra got no problem whatsoever. L'chayra, we are back in business. And in fact, many poskim say, you'll get a lot of heterim, that this type of scotch that has been soaked in a sherry cask is mutter. There's no flavor of yayin. There's no din of maimid because it's zeh v'zeh garb and it's water. Fine. And to add a proof to that, Google, and the experts will tell you the following yesoid principle. They will tell you that the yayin, the wine that is in the sherry cask does absolutely nothing to the malt. The chemical reaction that's happening that makes scotch from a sherry cask better, superior to one that's not in a sherry cask, is not because there's wine. The wood has different components. The wood has positive qualities and negative qualities. If you were to take the malt and put it in a brand new barrel and let it soak in a brand new barrel, the new barrel would impart good things, good qualities that make the scotch taste good, but it also emits things that are not so good. The yayin, the wine, what the wine does, it counteracts and it eradicates, it destroys the negative elements of the wood barrels, of these barrels. So then when you later put the malt into the barrel, the only thing that's now coming out of the barrel is the good stuff, is the good qualities of the wood, the good elements of the wood. So it turns out that the Yayin Nesech is doing nothing. The Yayin Nesech is not even a maimit. If we don't know how this works, and you just look at it from your perspective, you look at it from your perspective, what do you see? You see a barrel, and this barrel was first, wine was soaked in this barrel, was soaked in wine. So now when you put the malt into this barrel, oh, there are two things that are now going to enhance the scotch. The wood of the barrel, plus the yayinesech that's in the wood. That's what maybe it looks like to the naked eye. But scientifically, if you go to a chemist, you go into a laboratory, you will discover the yayin does nothing to the scotch. The reason why this scotch tastes better is because the wood has first been treated with yayin, and the yayin has eliminated all of the negative elements of the wood. So now when you'll then take the malt and put the malt into this barrel, the barrel only has something good to offer. The negative elements are not any longer present. They've been eliminated. They have been neutralized by the Yayin Esach. So the Yayin Esach is not even a maimid.
Could they prove that?
Oh, exactly. Go prove that, right? Exactly. So if this is what the experts say, and you know, you say the government. Is the government trying to harm you? The government wouldn't try to harm you. What do they have to lose? They would never try to harm you. The government tells you to jump off the Washington Bridge. Why would the government want to harm you? The government's only your friend. We're here to help you. Okay? Ein umun mora nafshe. What do they care? Why would they lie to us? If this is what the scientists tell us is the fact, why not believe them? Why not believe them? So we do. So I don't, what? Mesich lefitumo. If this is what they say, this is what they say. So that is why it's not even a dover hamaimit. So you got nothing to worry about. There's no flavor, and even if it was a maimid, it would be zevzeh goyrim. And many experts will tell you that it's not even a dover hamaimit. It's doing nothing. It already did its thing. The yayin already did its thing. It destroyed the negative elements in the barrel long ago. And now it's a different type of quality wood. And this wood is very only beneficial for the scotch. Okay, this is what it says over here. I'll even read you the words over here. It's very tiny reason. Benoisif lezeh, the minchas yitzak, Rabbi Weiss. Rabbi Weiss, not Rav Asher Weiss. Yitzak Weiss. I think he passed away. He passed away recently? The Gavad. The Goyin Av Bezdin. He passed away recently?
Yeah. No, a while ago.
Oh, different wise. Different. There was a known who passed away recently.
Tuvia Weiss.
So,
Yitzchak is Yitzchak Weiss.
Yes.
He was in Manchester after the war, in the early 80s. There was something that brought him to Israel.
Okay, so I'll even read you what he says over here.
Can I just say one more?
Sure.
So he wasn't such a zealot.
Wasn't a kanoi, yeah.
He wasn't such a kanoi. So he told the Sakharov, why do you bring him in for? He's not such a kanoi. He says, listen, kanoi can be in 2 seconds. Paisik takes 40 years to be a Paisik.
He's a Paisik.
Yeah, but that's...
Oh, Mayor, you really touch his buttons. You touch his buttons over here. Are you cold?
You did the Minchas Yitzchak.
No, it's good.
In the Minchas Yitzchak, before he left London, he brings the Ravadi, etc. Once he came to Eretz Yisrael, he's very negative to Ravadi. He doesn't even mention him by name. He actually talks against him. And he argues with him. He says he doesn't
know how
to learn.
All right, okay, let's not get... All right. You touch his bone. I know certain things you say.
Yeah.
This is his thing. Pet peeve. Okay, everybody, so let's go find it. Okay, let's go. Let me just read the words over here, a few words. He writes over here like this. Let's read the words. Ain... Okay, let me read you what he says over here. Ain hasiba, middle of a paragraph. Ein hasibu lekach. The reason why it tastes better, the scotch is so much better when it's in a sherry cask. Ein hasibu lekach. It's not because mibnei shehayayin mashpiach taimoy. It's not because the sherry cask that has absorbed yayin, the yayin is now improving its taste. Ela mishum shachovios hamurkovos me'etz ho'aloin, an ordinary barrel that is made from this wood, I think it's oak wood, yesh bohem sorof, there is a toxin that is in the wood, hamazik, that ordinarily damages vigoireya and ruins, downgrades tam hayayin sraf, the flavor of the scotch. Umitzoi ha-mumchim, the experts, the scientific experts, have discovered sheyesh b'koyach hayayin hanal, that when you first take these sherry casks, that these barrels, these oak barrels, and you fill it up with wine, what does it do? Sheyesh b'koyach hayayin hanal lehoitzi sorof. The yayin neutralizes. It cleanses. It cleanses, neutralizes, eliminates the toxins in that is embedded in the wood, so that zemen achavis, so that now the oz, then when you'll take the barrel now and use it to store the malt, the barrel only has good to offer. So the yayin is not giving any flavor into the malt. The yayin is only used as a cleaning agent. To neutralize, to first clean out the sorof, the toxins, the poisons, the bad stuff in the barrel. The oz mishtabeach hayayin shaf min ho'eitz, only from the wood, belo sheyifgam alidei hasorof shebo, without the sorof causing any harm, because the sorof has been cleansed, has been neutralized by the yayin. That has not been soaked b'chavis gezu. So it comes out that it's not even a maimed. You don't even need to come on to ze v'ze goyrein.
So, scientifically proven, or is it just
an, that's the question. This is what it says. The mumchim, he just quoted Dr. Dover's on Google, Rabbeinu Google, and Rabbeinu Google says, as it says like this, that's what it says. Shail is Rabbeinu Google a zokei mamre? What? The Google Hadar, but maybe he's a Zokin Mamre.
What does Google mean when it's telling you about different scotches and it says this one has a sherry fruity flavor in part of it? What does he mean when he's saying it's a fruity flavor, and he lists eight different types of sherries that make different types of sherry casks? Each one flavors that cask differently. Now, according to your explanation, it kills the toxin differently depending on the type of a sherry that was in it.
Do I know? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't make believe I know anything.
It seems like he's saying it has a sherry.
When you're a connoisseur of scotch, you'll hear a guy say, "Oh, this tastes like, has a fruity taste, it has a wood taste."
Different types of woods.
It has 10 different tastes.
There are different types of woods, and the chemical reaction of what the yayin does to the sherry cask is different. There are many different things that are going on. But according to this principle, if you accept this principle, it's another layer of leniency. The point over here is you have many reasons why it's mutter. There's no...
The sherry casks are all made originally from an oak cask. They're all made from the same type of a wood.
Yeah.
It's the types of sherries that are put into there.
I have a different chemical reaction of what they do to the wood. You put into the, you store wine, and different types of wine cause a different cleansing process. And then when the wood is then used for the malt, it's going to taste different because of depending on how it was cleansed. According to this principle, the yayin is not doing anything to the malt. The yayin is only something that is treating the wood. How could you prove this? Maybe the yayin is also actually being imparted into the malt and changing its flavor. This is what the scientists say. The scientists say is that the yayin does not at all do anything. You have to do some tests. You have to go to who knows how you can test this. Whatever. This is not for now. Okay. Now, I want to tell you.
These chemists cannot extract any level of wine out of that case.
They cannot extract. It's not a matter, but there's a flavor. It's there. There's something there. Okay, whatever it is. Fine.
They can't extract wine from that barrel.
Okay, that's what he's saying. It's treating the wood. Now, here comes a chiddush that really is over the top. I'm going to tell you now is over the top, which I'll give you a very simple, a very common example of what's the outgrowth of what it says. So everything we said until now, mutter. And I assume that there are many people that have no problem. Is that correct? No problem with this. mutter. Most of the poskim say that you're allowed to go buy this scotch, no problem, bottle, and if it's not a maimid, zev is a goyrim, and guess what? It's not even a maimid, like we just said. Azor shteit beferish on Google, mutter. I'm going to read you the words. Uvikoyveitz or Yisrael. Now this is, again, this is a chumrah. This is not la halacha, I'm telling you now. It's a chumrah, but it's something to pay attention to. And it's a little shocking what I'm about to say now. He brings over here, I'll jump down, Masha Shamati, Mipi Hagoin Av Bezdin, Yerushalayim, Hagoin Atzadik, Rabbi Moshe Aryeh Freund. Who is that? Okay, when was he Nifter? In the late 90s. He's citing now what he heard from the Goyim Av Bezdin, Rav Moshe Aryeh Freund Zatzal. And he writes like this, Kol Mashke whiskey, any whiskey, uchidoyme, sheyedua that we know, oy shekoysim ala whiskey, they write on the bottle, sheosu oysa b'chovyo shal yayin nesach, they write that this was prepared in a sherry cask, Afilu shachovios yiveshim v'yishanim. Even though we know that the barrels, they're dry. You know, by the way, there's another issue that they lose over here is that sometimes they're sloppy. You do need a heksher because sometimes when they take these sherry casks, they don't clean them. They just take them right off the production line, and it's still this mamish yayin in the sherry cask. He said, that's what it seems also, you have to be very careful. You have to have a heksher. Just because you're using a sherry cask, you have to make sure that if yesterday we used this cask for yayin, they make sure that it's thoroughly clean. It's thoroughly clean and it's dry and there's no yayin, it's not residue of yayin, because then, that's a whole different story. Then your mamash have a taruvus of yayin. Then you need to come on to bittul. Is it bottle, not bottle? That's a whole different story. So even though we know for a fact that the barrel is dry as can be, and they've taken a blowtorch, and they clean out the surface, whatever they do, all these things, even if we know for a fact, shachavios yiveshim, the yeshenim, and they're old, they'll say, after 12 months, it's pogrom, why you have another heter? They waited 12 months, from the time that they used it for wine until they used it 12 months. Oy pigumim, I don't know what that means, they pour detergent. Let's say they actually treat the barrel with some dover hapoigim, before they use it for the malt, unikim legamri, she'ein bochem chash yayin nesach. So obviously the fact that he has to go list all these principles means you still need a very good heksher for this. Because they're telling you that it's a sherry cask means that once upon a time it was filled to the top with yayin nesach. And you better make sure that before they went and they used this to prepare scotch, it was thoroughly cleaned and dried. There's zero residue. Good luck with that. You need a responsible hechsher to make sure, you know, don't skip any parts of this and any parts of the process. Even if we know everything is kedas uchadin, so he writes over here, Rabbi Freund, asurim legam. I told you, there's a das yochid. Don't get carried away. There's a das yochid. Okay, this does not appear to be the common psak. Asurim legamri me'achar. Now listen to this. Shehamifol. The organization, the company, misgoe is bragging, bohem sheyesh bohem tam kiloimar tam leshvach shel chavios hayayin nesach afilu shelamaisa ze loy borukach. Dr. Dov, is that what you're saying? That is a different sherry taste, a fruity taste.
Everyone has a different.
Oh, you see, all of these companies, they brag on their website, our scotch is the best. It was processed in a sherry cask, and you can taste the fruity flavor in the scotch. Excuse me, fruit?
You want the nutty flavor, you want a fruity flavor.
Where do you get a fruity flavor from a piece of wood? It means you're bragging, it's coming from the iron. Excuse me, the scientist, the chemist in the laboratory have told us there's no fruit. There is no yayin. It was just a cleanser. It was a detergent to clean the barrel. And all of a sudden, the website, You're telling me that our scotch, you can taste the fruit. You can taste that delicious fruity tinge in it. Excuse me, I thought the chemist in the laboratory says lo hayav lo nivra. False advertising. Go prove it. It sounds good. They write it on the web. Who's telling you the truth? What they're writing on the bottle, basically they're advertising that it's treif. And the OU is advertising that it's kosher.
Maybe
it's mamish astira. I mean, they obey. No, they didn't. No, no flavors.
If you eat a piece of challah,
yeah,
and it tastes like meat, is it fleshy?
But it tastes like meat. It doesn't taste like meat. It tastes like meat. He doesn't say that. He says over here, this is what he says. I hear what you're saying. That would be good, it would seem. It can taste whatever you want. It says on the bottle. This is what he says. Oh, let me. He says a tremendous chiddush. He says a tremendous chiddush. A davar nifla, he says. If the company brags that our take care, if a company brags that it has a fruity flavor, even though we know scientifically, or we don't really know for sure, we claim, and even though it's dov zev ze goyrim, he says, osser gomel. This is not the way kashrus works.
Because they claim.
Because it's shocking what he says. And I want to give you an example, a very common example. Let's move to the build to the point. I don't know what he means by this. He says, one more time, these words. Sheha mifol. Mifol means the company. Misko'eh, brags. They write this on the label. Bohem, sheyesh bohem tam. There's a fruity flavor. Kloimar, tam l'shvach shel chovios hayayin nesach. Afilu shalemaisa, ze loy borur kach. We've just gone through this whole discussion and it's not so clear. V'chein kol ha-mashkois whiskey mi-medina Scotland. Asurim l'fi ha-omor. V'rak ha-mashkois whiskey sheyidu ha-shem rem chashash ha-nal. Go back. But he says over here, the beginning is where he says, even though we know everything's really good, he writes over here, Shema Em Rashash, Asurim Ligamri. Let me give you an example right now. Hold on 1 second.
Why should you believe a goy when he says ate this like that?
Let me give you an example. Everyone who shaves today, everyone who shaves today uses, many people use an Orelco shaver. I would only buy an Orelco shaver. The Remington, in my opinion, is garbage. Anyway, I'm starting to say, I have a lot of shavers. I like the Norelco, Philips Norelco shavers. They're very good. Every single one of their shavers is called a lift and cut. Lift and cut. What is lift and cut? So they show you a picture. They show you a picture. Lift and cut is, what is the halach of shaving? Why you let it shave? Because when you shave, it's called scissor action. The hair is cut in between the blade and a razor. So the blade is not cutting against your skin. The blade is cutting against a piece of metal. The hair goes into a screen, and then a blade comes and cuts against the screen. So the blade never made contact with your flesh. The blade made contact with one blade against another blade, and the hair is not so lucky. It got caught there. It got cut off. Why can you use a razor? Because a razor cuts, the blade cuts against the basar. When the blade cuts against the basar, that's called hashchasa. And that's an iser d'oraisa. Along came the Relco, and they claim they made a new invention called lift and cut. And they illustrate this on their on every shaver. And they show that when you're here, when you shave, you know what happens? The shaver, it takes the hair, it sucks it into the shaver. Imamish pulls it in, lift. It pulls the hair in so tight that it basically pulls into the screen the edge of your skin. And then when the razor comes and cuts, it's not cutting against the blade, it's cutting against your skin. The advertisement on every single lift and cut in the Relco shaver, which is extremely common in Klal Yisrael, is an Isser D'Oraisa. With our new technology, which is not so new anymore, it's probably 20 years old already, where the shaver pulls the hair into the shaver, and by pulling the hair, it pulls the basar, the flesh, is sucked into the screen. So now when the razor cuts, you're getting a close shave. All the competitor, Remington, they're not cutting against your skin, they're cutting against the screen. So there's a gap from the screen to your flesh. It's not so close. But with our shaver, we're pulling the skin into the screen, so you're cutting, the blade is cutting against your flesh. That's what they show. They illustrate this on the cover of a shaver. So according to the illustration, it's mamish and iser d'oraisa gomor to shave. Now, because of this illustration has shaken up many, many people, I can't shave anymore. So what do people do? You take out the lift. It's very easy. Every shaver, though, you have to know what to do. You take away the lift. You go, you open up the shaver, very easy, and you can disable the lift. There are different ways. The old shavers, it was very easy to get rid of the lift. The new shavers, it's much more hard. You have to mamash cut each one by itself. But big deal. If you don't know how to do it, they do it for you in the store. The buzz closed down, so they don't have a buzz anymore. You find someone to do it for you. I could do it for you if you want. It's very easy. You cut away the lift. So now you convert your shaver, your Norelco, like a Remington shaver. The Remington is not a good quality shaver anyway. Okay. Many people have come along. Now, that's what most B'nai Torah do. The vast majority of B'nai Torah get very nervous. They like to get nervous. They want to get nervous. And you buy a Norelco shaver, and you disable the lift. There are many people will tell you, I'm not so religious. I tried it when it was with the lift and without the lift, and there is no difference whatsoever. And this baloney they put on the cover of the Norelco shaver, that it sucks your skin into the blade, is a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of baloney. And the fact that for 20 years in America you can get away with putting on a cover, total nonsense. You're telling me that when the blade spins so fast in such a split second, it sucks your skin, and they're getting a close. First, it's not a closer shave. Everyone will tell you it's not closer than any other shaver. The whole thing is baloney. It's a marketing gimmick that cannot be proven scientifically. Maybe today with these new ultra high tech cameras that can catch chvestish, I don't know if they can prove this scientifically. The whole thing is a bunch of baloney. No one cares, and no one's coming to sue them. So Gesunde Hate, they're able to ride Norelco, is able to put on the cover of their shavers and sell throughout the entire world hundreds of millions, if not billions, of shavers with this false advertising, making a claim that their shaver is treif, is not kosher, when really it's kosher. Because really, it's not cutting against your flesh, it's scissor action. It's cutting against. So my question is, according to Rabbi Freund, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, if the company, the mifal, is misgoeh, and that's why you should, there are poiskim. Rabbi Willick from Yeshiva University is very well known for this. You can use a Norelco shaver without taking out the lift and cut. He's very well known for passing this halacha, that the advertising is baloney. It's mamash sheker v'chazav of the advertising. You can ignore the advertising, and you can use a Norelco shaver without removing the lift. I personally don't. And I know many people that I know, they, no big deal to be machmir to cut out the lift. Big deal. It takes 10 seconds to get out the lift. But he says that if you can't take out the lift, he holds that the advertising is false advertising. So it right away leaped off the page. What Rabbi Freund said, if the mifal, the company, is misgoye on their advertising, that our shaver, our product, is treif, you have to accept it, what they say, and it's iser gomor. If the sherry cask, scotch, they claim you can taste the fruit, which is the yayin, in, even though you go to the laboratory and they'll tell you lo hayav lo nivra, there's false advertising, and no one's going to go take them to court because no one can prove it either way anyway, and no one cares anyway. If the company, the mifl, is misgoeh, this creates a halachic concept that it's iser gomor. Wow. That's a whole.
Something else now. Interesting.
That's a whole new area of halacha. That's a whole new in Shulchan Aruch. Where do you have a thing in Shulchan Aruch of the label? It's a new area of halacha. Okay. You have mitzias.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm reading now. There's two types of oak kiss: American oak, European oak. The American oak produces a nutty, fruity flavor. The European oak produces a spicier type of flavor. All the sherry is doing, let's go back to the beginning. All the sherry is doing is bringing out the flavor in that oak kiss. The oak itself is the one that's giving the fruity flavor, the nutty flavor, and or the spicy flavor. It's not the sherry that's giving it. It's the oak kiss itself that is being treated by the sherry to bring out the flavor of the oak.
That's why if a lot of wines are produced in America, it's wine, it's from grapes, right?
Yeah.
It has a vanilla taste, it has a peachy taste, because it's from the barrel.
The barrel. Okay, fine. To me, I just want to, this is something that is fascinating to me. A new din in halacha, pilei ployim, a new din in halacha is that you can go into the laboratory and you can analyze something and it's not bar, but if the company, if they are able to focus on a vulnerability of society, and this is what they want to hear, and this is their marketing strategy, and this the claim, and it's not borrower, it's not 100% borrower, you have to add that element, no one knows for sure, you can't really prove anything, no. All then it creates a new dynamic in halacha that is usher. Obviously, it's a das yochid because all of the kashrus organizations don't care what it says. They don't care what the marketing says. They tell you we take it to the laboratory. We do halacha shulchan aruch kosher not kosher. You can add a ham sandwich, ham chazer.
The proof in the pudding is if I take that same sherry and put it into an oak kiss American versus an oak European kiss, it will impart a different flavor onto the whiskey, which proves that...
And it's the wood. It's the wood.
The type of oak.
But I can tell you it's a combination of a different type of wood with the yayin. Zev zegoyrim. Zev zegoyrim. All right, that's the chiddush. I think it's a tremendous chiddush. So what would he say about the Norelgo shavers? If you take the same logic of Rabbi Freund, he would say, probably said it also, right? but he would say, if this is what it says on the advertisement, and the government lets them get away with this, you got to take it seriously. Anyway, you can't prove it. No one has ever come to try to prove this. Does your flesh get sucked into the screen? So if this is what it says on the advertisement, you got to take them seriously. You have to take out the lift. Okay, it's an interesting new concept in halacha. Is Gadali is Gadash Meir Abba.